And everyone, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid, the season finale. It is I, Michael, the Green Ranger. I'm still the Green Ranger, I think. I don't remember that much anymore.
I think you're blue.
I think I'm blue. Yeah.
He just desperately wants to be the Green Ranger.
I am the Blue Ranger. I don't even remember my own color, but that's okay because I never wear blue all that often anyways. I'm being joined by yours truly, Mr. Ben Taylor, the Pink Ranger.
I'm absolutely the Black Ranger.
Black Ranger. You can tell
me,
that
your boy,
the Black Ranger.
All right, so our host,
and then it's Sasha, the red.
Excuse me, you were giving me crap earlier.
Eternal Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan. Thank you very much.
Should we maybe start again?
No. This is hilarious.
We're ending the finale. We're ending this season on a high note with comedy.
And the fact that Michael still hasn't introduced Brian.
Hey, Brian, how's it going, bud?
Hey, how's it going? It's me, your Pink Ranger. And yes, I am the Pink Ranger. I know I'm the pink one. Just in case you're curious, I am pink.
And ladies and gentlemen, it only goes downhill from here. No,
you're actually not wrong.
Oh, my God.
So the way I structured this is, as this is the final group one, I have a little bit of a detailed thing going into the questions. I have about four questions for part one and then about five questions for part two because
so
I wanted
gonna
to keep
here all day. Got it.
Yes, exactly. So I'm just going to go right off into it. So we see at the beginning of this episode, the Rangers are reeling and Dark Spectre calls upon Astronema to gather the troops, including the Machine Empire, Divatox, and Zed and Rita. What was it like seeing in the second to last episode all of the previous big bads being called back to duty by Astronema and Dark Spectre?
I thought it was awesome. I, you know, as someone who grew up with the Zordon era and watched, you know, maybe less Turbo, but certainly watched, you know, Mighty Morphin and watched Zeo. It was really a treat. I did have some questions about how, like, Mondo was back with the Machine Empire because I thought they got blowed up. But
well, they showed up in the season premiere, remember?
Yeah.
They were rebuilt.
So that's the thing is, my thought about seeing all these people get called back was just like, where have they been all season? Because they were in the premiere.
That is true. I forgot about that.
They were across the far reaches of the galaxy doing Dark Spectre's dues or whatever
They're on paid vacation.
Yeah.
Come on! There's no such thing as paid vacation in the United Alliance of Evil? Come on!
Divatox ain't on vacation. Divatox is busy.
Yeah.
Well, at least Zed and Rita were.
Yeah. I can totally see Zed and Rita just like chilling on the moon, sipping Mai Tais or something while all this is going on. But I thought it was cool. And also I thought it was cool that we saw like all the B-roll, like, you know, call it Sentai footage where like you have like all the armies, like all the like putties and stuff and all the buildings. I just thought it was really cool that they had all this stuff kind of saved up from like years of like editing stuff out and just throwing it all together. Seeing like the big bad back again and all that, I just thought it was really cool.
Anyone else on that one or
no?
Again, my only thought is, why didn't they do this in episode 3?
Yeah,
would have made a little bit of sense.
We wouldn't have had a season.
yeah.
But here's the thing, maybe... right? We shouldn't have had a season because Divatox won. And it was only because Dark Spectre went, I need you now and not in 10 minutes, that the Power Rangers weren't just dead.
Correct.
So, as we see the previous villains called to duty, we then see the Alien Ranger, Zeo Gold, Blue Centurion, and the Phantom Ranger all become overwhelmed by the armies of the previous villains. How do you feel this set the tone for what was to come for Earth for this finale?
It sets the tone that like everybody on Earth is going to get their ass whooped.
I kind of wish there had been in like even if like the previous episode there had been just like a little bit more build up.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't listening to these in order, remember the episode literally before Countdown to Finale is the one with the killer Humvee in it. Hankenstein.
You know, maybe if like they the Rangers like receive a distressed call and they don't know where it's coming from, but they can't get there anyway because, you know, Astronema attacks them because she wants to let her other forces attack the like external planets or whatever it is that they're targeting. That would have made a little bit more sense. Like it does set the tone that like, oh, we're in the finale now. Like things are about to happen, but I wish this big bad invasion had like a little bit more of a build up, even just in the background of like Astronema's attacking the Rangers and Ecliptor says something like our forces are fighting back against X planet and the Blue Centurion or whoever it is.
Yeah, so they've done the thing where over the last like three or four episodes, they've had complete throwaway episodes that have ended with the Zord getting blown up for kind of no reason, really. Just so that they don't have access to the Zords here in Countdown to Destruction. I don't know, man. Countdown to Destruction felt like it needed to be like an episode or two longer because everything happens in Fast Forward.
Well, especially for this, the first part, because the first part is essentially the all-out war that happens to lead into the second episode, which we'll get to that in a moment, because my third one note slash question for y'all is we go back to KO35, we see Zane there with the rebels, and now they are starting to become overwhelmed themselves on KO35. And to get help from others, he leaves the rebels, but he runs into trouble himself. But the Rangers end up coming out to help out Zane, and they see the invasion coming towards Earth. When they arrive, it is an all-out war. The Mega Winger is destroyed and the Rangers get demorphed. How impactful was this battle on Earth to set the mood of the situation for the Rangers and not just for them, but also for the citizens?
I mean, like, for me, it's like you see this scene where like there's this civilian late at night, basically around a campfire going like, Power Rangers have abandoned us. Like, where are they? Like, you know, it sets up like that there's like no hope for humanity, I think. It certainly sets that tone, or at least it's trying to. And so it definitely feels like, you know, they're leading up to like the end game, and it's like, you know, this is really it. And I don't know, it definitely felt like the stakes were huge this time. Like, not that they weren't already, but like they're insanely huge this time.
So for me, it's not the Zords or even them demorphing that kind of sets the tone. It's the level of destruction. The panic people running around, the fact that we don't see just like abandoned warehouses getting destroyed, but it's like an office building. It's an apartment complex. That's where I'm like, okay, this is getting real. And so I think to me, it's the level of destruction and things on fire that's really helping to set the tone. And the amount of civilians that we see freaking out. Like, there's usually always like a little bit in a quarry or like a downtown center, but this, like, the scale of it does feel epic through that.
I mean, like, you also see like humans being like in a line being like led off into like what I can assume is like a prison camp or something by the Quantrons and stuff. And it's like, oh, wow, okay. You know.
Ben?
I didn't care. I know that I'm known for being contrary and a bit of the that, but having seen the Zord blow up every episode for the last four episodes, I didn't care that the Mega Winger got blown up, especially since we only met it like 10 episodes ago, and it's been gone since. I had no real attachment to it. The Rangers demorph in like every other episode. They get blown up and demorph and have to remorph again. It's just a way for them to fill time. Yeah. This will be something that I think will come up a lot as we talk about this episode. Countdown Destruction just didn't hit for me in any way. Like, it might be my least favorite season finale we've covered so far. Just because... I'll save that for later.
All right.
So back on the Dark Fortress, we see Darkonda plotting against Astronema and Dark Spectre. Then a little later on, he actually attacks Dark Spectre, but in his final act, Dark Spectre destroys Darkonda as he explodes himself. Thus now making Astronema the queen of evil and the support, also referenced as the supreme leader of evil. What are your thoughts on this internal battle that has pretty much been brewing all season, but now has come to a head for being the supreme leader of evil?
I kind of wish Astronema had been the one to destroy Dark Spectre, because they were building to that and then they didn't. And so to have Darkonda do it is like, ugh, this guy again.
So like, to call back to what we were talking about in Dark Spectre's Revenge, because Astronema is not the one to defeat Dark Spectre, the whole her getting powered up by the Psycho Rangers and plotting against Dark Spectre does not matter.
Yeah.
You, again, to restate, you could have cut out literally every episode between Dark Spectre's Revenge and the finale and got the same story.
I mean, I do like the Psycho Ranger saga just for the development that it gives great into saga. The Rangers.
It's fun.
But you're right. I see your point. Yeah.
The story would be the same. You would have just had less episodes. But to answer the question, I hated it. I hated the whole resolution of Dark Spectre and Darkonda. Dark Spectre is the biggest threat the Rangers have ever faced, and they're not the ones to defeat him.
Yeah.
Astronema, the person who's been set up the entire season to be the person to subsume him, isn't the one to defeat him. And Darkonda, the big bad that they've been building this confrontation between him and Andross to the death, doesn't happen. It was just cheap all round.
But also, Darkonda, for the most part, was just annoying. Like, he's supposed to be intimidating,
yes.
And he does have his moments, but overall, he's just annoying. Not as annoying as Elgar. Not as annoying as Elgar. There's different levels of annoyance.
Like, no one is as annoying as Elgar.
But the fact that Darkonda is the one to take Karone away from KO35, and all the build-up that happens around Andross wanting to chase Darkonda down, mm-hmm. Like, Darkonda even starts using it against him at one point in the season to mm-hmm. lure him into traps.
Yep.
And then it goes nowhere.
Yep.
All the setup of Astronema slowly building up over the last 10 episodes of I'm going to take over from Dark Spectre goes nowhere. Everything about the final confrontation between Zordon and Dark Spectre goes nowhere. It's just awful.
Ryan,
I killed the conversation, didn't I?
I mean, no, I'm just processing all that because, like, I mean, as much as I do enjoy, like, the wrap-up or everything, but, like, you make a really great point. Because, yeah, like, Darkon, like, the fact that, like, the big evil, like, Dark Spectre is, like, murked from behind and, like, that's what kills him, I'm like, well, then... why didn't somebody else just go? Like, why didn't the Astro Mega Ship just go and, like, set guns on him and like just try and blow him out of the sky. Like, I don't know, like, not that they would know where he is, but it's like, you know, if it's as simple as like one of their like baseline fighters going behind him and like blowing him up with some missiles, like, that's a pretty weak like overlord. I'm sorry.
Could
like,
you
that's...
imagine if they'd spent the last few episodes building up the fact that Dark Honda had been researching Dark Spectre and building a weapon to destroy him and all of that? Then Andros defeats Dark Honda, takes the weapon and kills Dark Spectre. Holy crap, I just sorted out the finale.
That would have been cool.
Like, what's his weak point? It's like, they don't, yeah. So for that bit of storytelling, I 100% agree with you. It's like, yeah, they should have, because I'm on board with you. And I was feeling like that when I wrote these notes too. It's like, yeah, wow, Dark Spectre like literally just got murked from behind. And like, he went out without like, with nothing. There was like, it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of takes the wind out of the sails on that, I guess. Yeah.
So, entering part two, Astronema is now queen and the Rangers are on the ropes. Astronema gives the citizens an ultimatum. Give her the Rangers or be destroyed. How did you feel about this and the aftermath, which saw Bulk trying to lift people's spirits while the Rangers try to come with a plan?
My exact note is the fire scene. Bulk and Skull return to the franchise. Pity they've been missing since they graduated from the police academy three seasons, aka 136 episodes ago. Because the Bulk and Skull we've seen since then are not Bulk and Skull.
The scene itself is great, right? On its own, it's great because the we see these characters who are like, the Power Rangers have abandoned us. Where are they? Why aren't they helping? And, you know, Bulk and Skull bring support. Like, no, the Power Rangers would never do that. They're not going to abandon us. They're going to come and save us. But the problem is, as Ben illustrated, is that Bulk and Skull don't do much this season. All they do is chase around aliens with Professor Phenomenus, and it becomes grating because it's like a step backwards. And I believe it was Linkara in his review of In Space talked about how like, okay, it's like, it's not great, but their character development is like building up over the course of the, you know, since Mighty Morphin season one. But I wish we could have seen their continued growth throughout this season. Maybe it could have been like, okay, even with Professor Phenomenus, if we have to keep them, have them research something, have them maybe decide to take some classes in, you know, on space stuff, do something that shows that their journey continues outside of just being the slapstick comic relief, which even the slapstick and the comic relief this season are just kind of like, yeah.
Learn them an education.
Bulk and Skull have not been seen since they graduated the police academy. There have been two other people that look like Bulk and Skull hanging around. Because as I have talked about over and over and over again over the last couple of seasons, they have devolved back to what they were in season one, basically. Even before they started trying to figure out who the Power Rangers were or... the thing with like one of the most heartbreaking moments in all of Mighty Morphin is when Bulk and Skull have that cast of the Power Rangers' feet, their footprints, and the Rangers force them to drop it, and Bulk just yells out this anguished yell because they were so close, right? We've been joking about it for a while. I know Linkara jokes about it, that Bulk and Skull are like the true heroes of the Zordon era. And we'll see that even more later on in part two.
Yeah.
But what we've seen from Bulk and Skull through Zeo, Turbo, and In Space, that's not Bulk and Skull. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's not the Bulk and Skull that was at the end of season three, graduating the police academy and helping Kimberly find her car and getting to a point where Kimberly actively wanted to dance with Skull at graduation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it, they're not the same characters. They're just not.
Yeah.
I hate it.
So the next day, Astronema demands the Rangers to be turned over, but instead, and this is the moment that you're alluding to, Ben, Bulk declares himself the Blue Ranger, Skull the Black Ranger, and then everyone else starts stepping up and declaring them as Rangers. Knowing the story of Bulk and Skull, I know we kind of touched base a little bit. How satisfying was it to see this happen for them?
It felt so good.
It is an epic moment. And I mentioned this when we were recording Dark Spectre's Revenge, that like we have that funny line where they're like, we're not Power Rangers, as they're running away from the monster. And here they're still not Power Rangers, but they're, and we've seen these moments of bravery and wanting to help others from them throughout the course of the series.
So but here's the thing, right? And hear me out. Not only are they claiming to be Rangers, as you say there, I would go so far as to say they are Rangers.
Yeah.
Because they end up leading like an entire, like, well, they,
I'm about they, to get to that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It felt really good to get to see what should have been the culmination of Bulk and Skull's arc.
I agree. Like, it's really satisfying to see, and it's like probably one of my favorite moments in the Zordon era.
So let's get to this next one, because I know Ben wants to talk about it. After Bulk and Skull and all the citizens start declaring themselves as Rangers, the real Rangers then reveal themselves and morph. And as they go into battle, Bulk then leads the citizens into mm-hmm. the fight. How did you feel about seeing the citizens stepping up and joining the fight? Because this is actually probably, if I can remember right, in the entire Zordon era, the first time where all the citizens have actually said, hell with this, we're getting into this fight too.
Yep. So yeah. One of the things that I was going to bring up when we were having our bigger conversation of the finale is we've often joked about the fact that, like, but what if we have a problem? We'll just call the Power Rangers, right? There is no military response to the invasion of Earth. There are no police anywhere.
None whatsoever.
However, there is something really cool that happens in this episode, or in this two-parter, should I say, where you see the Rangers marshalling the citizens. They free groups of citizens, and they're like, go, run, get out of here. That was the moment I knew I wanted to see my Rangers rescuing people, which is why Lightspeed Rescue went on to become one of my favorite seasons.
So I will say I have a note about that, which is they keep trying to get civilians somewhere, ? Is there any place safe when you're dealing
with...
Well,
they didn't know that at the point, did they?
No, I mean, they kind of did, because they know about all of these other planets that are being invaded. So, like, I could understand them trying to, like, get people out of this immediate vicinity.
Yeah, but that's... Like,
they don't really go that far.
As long as you're out of the immediate area of, like, imminent danger, like, go, get out of here. Like, that's, you know...
But to pull it back around, to go from seeing no response from Nassada or the military or the Navy or the Air Force or any of this.
Or even like a firefighter in the corner somewhere.
Yeah. To seeing Bulk be the guy who goes, well, what are we standing around for? Who's with me? Not we should go, but who's with me? Indicating he's going anyway.
Yep.
Right? Even if no one else comes, Bulk and Skull are about to throw down.
Yep.
Yeah, and I say when I reference the citizens not fighting back, I also reference the TV show, because I do in the first movie, Bulk and Skull do kind of lead a little bit of a charge with the teenagers
that's technically not canon.
Yes,
but they
do step up as kind of like leaders to try to help the kids save their parents from walking off of a cliff.
Leap
and stuff like that.
Doom.
Yeah, so so there is a little bit of that from the movie, but again, as Ben mentioned, the movie is technically not canon because the movie they obviously when they went into season three, they kind of went a different direction.
They redid it.
Yeah, exactly. That's going in a different direction. But like it also just kind of when you look at also look at real world elements too. If you see something where you're being oppressed as a lar as a group, you don't just look at specific individuals to fight the battle for you. You all as a group rise up to do battle against what is trying to oppress you. And that is, like what possibly the greatest thing. Like you said, Bulk was ready to throw down. It was just a matter of, who's going to join him? And I think a lot of the citizens after, what is it, 7 years said, you know what, the hell with this. We're now going to fight back.
Yeah. Can I ask a question, by the way? And it's like tangentially related to all this. And I know we don't like jumping ahead and anything like that, but considering the next season, I do want to ask this because I feel like based on what happens in this episode, it's a pertinent question. Because in Lost Galaxy, you see an army, which, yeah, they're using the Starship Troopers suits. Whatever, we'll get into that. But there's an army battalion like that has guns and everything. Is that a result of this, or like I don't know, like was there all of a sudden now like, hey, we got invaded and we almost got our planet taken over, like for real this time we really need like some kind of space battalion or like a space force or something?
I
I don't
don't
know.
think they put that much thought into it, brother.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, well, we're going to space.
I
With a
guess, yeah.
colony, you might as well. Why not?
Yeah.
So,
I'm doing my part.
would you like to know more? So on the Dark Fortress, Andros finds Zordon. And he at and Zordon asks Andros to destroy him to defeat all evo e evil evil
Evo.
yeah, can't
We
speak
are
now.
Evo evil.
No fighting games for you.
To defeat all evil, Andros hesitates and then he ends up in a battle with Astronema followed by a battle with Ecliptor because he accidentally when he deflects a blast from Astronema it hits her.
Yep.
Ecliptor then blames him, which he goes, no, it was an accident. Andros deals with grief with both what Zordon is asking him to do and then also with the accidental killing of Astronema. What are your thoughts on this dilemma for Andros?
What dilemma?
Well, the fact that he just, in a way, killed his sister accidentally, but he's also being told by Zordon, who he looks to as a mentor.
Does he though?
Being or as a friend, let's put it that way, as a friend,
Or an
he's being
ally.
t or an ally, he's being
Whatever.
asked by a friend or an ally to literally destroy him to end all evil in the universe. And so
How is
he,
that a dilemma?
well, it is a dilemma because you're like, imagine if your friend is like, all right, you got to kill me in order to save the universe.
Yeah.
Here's something that I had this thought also when like Bulk and Skull, like the Rangers reveal themselves to the public, not like that, but like they reveal themselves, you know, and Bulk and Skull like look at each other and like, wait, them? I feel like that scene would have had more gravitas if somehow, some way, like I don't know, part of the original cast had shown back up because wow, wait a minute, the guys that we went to high school with, those guys.
But
But
at the
also,
same time, this
if
show did establish the new cast as being friends with Bulk and Skull.
yes, I get that. Also, I feel like what I'm trying to say is I feel like the scene with Andros killing Zordon in order to, you know, or sacrificing him in order to, like, you know, defeat all the evil in the galaxy, it would have had so much more gravitas if, like, it was somebody who had been there from the start. Like, I don't know if like Adam had shown up because he showed up in, you know, like Once a Ranger. And if he had come back, because it's like, there's, you know, I don't know. Obviously, there's not really that many other teams except for, like, you know, the Auxiliary Rangers and the Alien Rangers and stuff. But, wow, if, like, Adam had shown up and, like, Andros is dealing with stuff and, like, I don't know, like, I don't know. I don't know how you would have written it, but, like, it doesn't really feel like Andros' moment.
So what you're saying is Legendary Battle from Super Mega Force.
No. Yeah!
So, Brian has hit the nail on the head. This is why I've kept saying, is it really a dial-up? This is the only time we have seen Andros and Zordon in the same place. Andros has barely talked about him. He's not talked about how the fact that that Zordon was his mentor. We haven't seen flashbacks of Andros learning about things. All Andros has ever given us is KO-35, KO-35, Coron, Coron, KO-35, Coron, Coron. KO-35. Dispatching Zordon shouldn't have been a second thought for him. Because at no point have we, as the audience, had imparted upon us a close relationship between the two. The only reason that we know that Andros has been feeling like he needs to find Zordon is because Zordon can help defeat all evil. And guess what? He can. He's just got to get his tube broke. Andros should have done it like that. The bigger concern is if he breaks the tube, what happens to Coron? What happens to KO-35? Yes. That's where the struggle should have been, not because he loves Zordon.
Agreed. What's interesting is I looked it up to try to figure out what exactly the relationship was between Andros and Zordon, and according to the Ranger Wiki... And this is uncited. It says that Zordon chose Andros and Zane to become the galaxy's first Power Rangers and whatever.
It would have been really nice to have been shown that.
Right. Or even had like a little bit of a flashback or a conversation about it. Yeah. After becoming the Red Space Ranger, he and Zane, the Silver Ranger, teamed up to defend the galaxy at Zordon's request.
Let me guess.
Was that ever mentioned in the show?
Nope.
No.
Yes. Hold on. Zane and Andros being on a team prior was talked about, and they did flashbacks of it because of the fact that, you know, that's how they introduced Zane.
No.
We know that. That was pre-established. I'm not talking about the fact that there was another team of Rangers.
Oh, the Zordon part, I'm not 100% sure.
It's the Zordon part I have a problem with. Like,
This isn't and something that was introduced
that's
in the comic, what,
that's
right?
The entire crux here, right?
Yeah.
Is the killing of Zordon part shouldn't have been the problem. The problem should have been what will happen to Coron if I do.
Now, see, if...
That would have been more interesting, yeah.
Now, let's change this up in a moment. What if it was, like, say, Billy, who had to destroy the tube.
Exactly. That's exactly that would have been interesting. Brian was saying.
Even Adam would have been great.
Adam, Billy.
I think Billy would have been the ultimate one because of, especially the fact that, like, in Zeo, you know, or not just Zeo, but even in Mighty Morphin, he did a lot of time in the command center with Zordon and Alpha. So he built a bigger relationship with Zordon.
Not to mention, he's on Aquitar right now, and the Alien Rangers are in this fight, so where's Billy at this point?
Like, if Billy had shown up and been like, you know, I can destroy the Dark Fortress, just get me up there, and Andros is like, okay, cool, I need to go save Coron, let's go.
You're telling me that the Alien Rangers wouldn't have, on their planet full of all this incredible technology, they wouldn't have some kind of, like, spare, like, Ranger suit or something to give him? And be like, all right, cool, you can join the fight back again too, or something. I don't know.
Well, they already proved with Adam that, you know, the morphers still technically work a little bit.
But also by that rationale, where's Adam? Where's Aisha? Where's Tanya? Okay. Where's Rocky? Where's Justin?
He's having fun.
Zane is probably fighting off Quantron's back in wherever Rocky's he is.
No. Zane was on planet Earth with the other four Rangers.
He was. Yeah.
So I think we've sort of covered this topic, which is, like, if this was supposed to be the end of the Zordon era and it's like this epic space battle, it would have been nice to see some of these characters come back. But I guess the question is, if those characters had come back, would that have overshadowed the current Ranger team?
Again, this is my argument of using the time that you put in on all those filler episodes between Now and
Dark Spectre.
Dark Spectre's Revenge to lengthen this climax more, right? And even if you're bringing in, like, don't, like, fine, don't bring Adam back. Show him beating up some Quantrons and saving some people, but don't bring him back to interact with the team because he already has earlier in the season. But, like,
right,
have Jason show up. Have Zach show up.
You don't even have to have the actors necessarily come back, but, like, put somebody in one of those suits.
Yeah. Have, like, we know Justin knows them. He was here earlier in the season.
And he lives.
Yeah, even Justin would have been fine.
And he lives in the area, so you know he would have been affected by this.
Look, at the end of the day, this is like that. All of those things would have been cool. I agree, but that's not what we got. So we just kind of have to move on.
So with that said, here's my final question and note. Andros destroys Zordon, thus defeating all evil across the universe. When Andros returns,
not defeated anymore. But well, yeah, carry on.
When Andros returns to Earth, he's carrying Carone and he places her down the ground, and his tears bring Carone back to life.
Do we know if she was actually dead though?
Oh my god!
All right, his tears at least undo the Borgifying.
Look
and get rid of her wig somehow.
Yeah, a girl got a brand new hairstyle with them tears.
Yeah. Anyways, how does this make you feel knowing that this is how the Zordon era ended?
Oh my god!
It was
the last act is not just destroying the tube, seeing Carla Perez and Robert Axelrod, you know, becoming human form for Rita and Zed respectively, and then dancing off screen with the Zeo Gold Ranger going, huh, what? But it's the tears that fall on Carone's cheek from Andros that brings her back
to
life.
Obviously fake tears.
Right?
Because if you look at the way they're running down his face, they've quite obviously been, like, piped on with a pipette.
Here is my... Okay, look, I will be honest. I have a bigger gripe with this than... I have a bigger gripe with something else than this. Like, yeah, is this dumb? Yeah, but this is like the level of cheesiness I've come to expect from Power Rangers. I am very, very mad that they killed Ecliptor.
Yeah.
I am still... It's been like almost 30 years and I am still so sad about Ecliptor's death. It was unfair.
There's such a cool little thing that most people don't notice when Ecliptor gets hit by the wave, because he's the first evil thing to get hit by the wave.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that he spread out in front of Astronomer to try and stop her getting hit? He's like this. Yes.
No!
His arms are out.
Yeah.
That just makes it so much worse.
He's the best dad in Power Rangers.
He is the best dad in Power Rangers.
And there are some bad dads coming
literally,
up.
Literally, he is the best dad in Power Rangers.
And there are some pretty bad dads that come up later on in the series of Power Rangers.
And the award for best father in Power Rangers goes to,
Ecliptor.
So.
But yeah, no, the tier thing was cheesy and kind of silly. But it's Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, what else were they gonna do? And no, hold on. That's not saying that they couldn't have done something better. But versus what we come up with and the Ranger writers are two very different things.
Yeah.
Yes.
What we come up with like 30 years later.
Like, they could have just done a thing where she wasn't actually dead. And like the bad part isn't her waking up.
Right.
The bad part is that his tears apparently cured the Borg.
Somebody
get this
Captain
man
Jake
to Star Trek.
I am Locutus of Borg. Oh God, not the
tear. Come here, let me cry on you.
Unfortunately, this is also not the only time that KO35 tears will be used for their healing properties. Welcome to Power Rangers. It never makes sense.
That's not how science works.
No, how
There's a very
science
simple
works,
explanation,
man.
except there even isn't that either. It does, I think, take away something from the finale, but we wanted to see Carone like be good and come back and like whatever.
You know, you could have just done that with the
Wait.
parallax wave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked well for Rita, Zed, and Divatox.
Here's a question
Oh
for
my
you.
God.
Here's a question for you.
Divatox.
Here's a question for you. If Andros's tears can cure evil and make bad stuff go away, why is that not something that Professor Phenomenus is like, I need to study this now?
Well, A, he didn't see it.
Yeah, he did. He's
Yeah,
the
he did. He
whole
was
team
right
were right
there.
there.
He had
He,
Balkan Skull, the
he's
citizens,
short.
all of
He's
them
short.
solid.
Give me some of your tears, boy.
I don't know if they act, but here's the thing. Like, I don't think they saw the tear part. I think they just saw, like, because there, it's not like, because we're seeing it very up close and it's like a distance thing. I don't know if they saw Andros
Yeah.
crying. They just saw, Astronema, whatever. But speaking of, could we talk about our queen, our space pirate magnificence that
My
is
queen.
Divatox, please?
My queen.
Because at the end of part one, Astronema shows up and she's like, I'm the queen of evil. And Divatox's reaction is so
And
priceless.
Diva Talks took that personally.
She's like, no, why does it
Like I've seen meltdowns on like Drag Race that have not been as bad as that. I was like, oh
have to be
my
her? Right?
God.
And then all
She
of the
full
Piranha,
crashed out.
and
Oh,
then
yeah.
all the Piranatrons like bow down. And she's like, what are you doing? You work for me. We love you, Divatox.
But
Stand up, queen.
not only that, but I also liked when Rita and Zed got the call.
Yeah.
After it was found out that she became like the new like queen, and like oh no, it was actually before that. It was when they were being called into duty by Astronema via Dark Spectre or Dark Spectre via Astronema. And
Whatever.
like Rita's just like giving her all this sass of like, why should we listen to you and blah blah blah.
Who
And then
put
she goes,
you in charge?
and then Astronema's like, well, Dark Spectre has made this word. I'm like, oh, Dark Spectre. Oh yes, we will.
Oh, wow.
Oh yes,
Okay.
we'll get in line now. Yeah, well, yes, you know. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, you
Yeah.
could have solved the Borgification with the parallax wave, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't have to do this cheesy tears thing.
It was so
But
bad.
it's like this, forget about the Rangers flying off in the Mega Voyager and stuff like that. Because it's like, oh, wait, you always have to have that type of ending for end of season or whatever. Or
Oh my
that type
God.
of, but the fact that you had the Zed wave, or the Zordon wave that destroyed all evil, brought all good into the world. But it's the tears from Andros that is like the really the nail in the coffin to the Zordon era. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we're all in agreement here, I believe.
Like, I don't have a problem with the fact that they did that moment of him carrying her off the ship
Yeah.
and then like discovering she's not dead. It's the cheesiness of the tears falling on her face and those curing the Borg and chain like teleporting her wig off her head.
It would have been better if, as you said, right, the Z-Wave gets rid of all the Borg implants and she's Carone, but she's still knocked out. And then you have him like carrying her out, like, oh my God, my sister's dead, whatever, I killed her. And then she
Yeah.
wakes up. With
Yeah.
tears or not, because the whole tears cliche thing has been done a bazillion times, but yeah.
I'll be honest with you, what should have happened is that ship would have opened and Carone got carried off the ship by both of them. God damn it. It clipped us at that. Sorry.
The only question would for that would be is this. We obviously saw human forms come of Zed and Rita and Divatox. What could have Ecliptor's human form could have been? You know, if
Literally anything.
yeah,
Yeah, I
yeah,
don't care.
that's
It doesn't matter.
it could have been Dwayne the Rock Johnson
It
for all I
could have
care.
been Ecliptor. Ecliptor, but now he's painted blue and pastel. Like, I don't care.
It's Ninjor's long lost cousin or brother or something like that.
Just make it Ninjor.
It could have been like the original Pink Ranger suit, like just repainted purple.
Nobody ever picks Ninjor.
Like it could have been like a Power Ranger suit repainted purple. Like, I don't care. The point isn't what would he have looked like. The point is, what he should have looked like.
You know what he should have looked like? David J. Fielding.
That would have been great.
That would have been really awesome. Good, actually.
It should have just been. Body I saw. You know what? Zordon's like, I need a body now. I'm going to be Garou's dad.
I love it.
Yeah. Like, Ecliptor's human form looks like Zordon. That's what it should have been.
He should have totally gotten some kind of, like, cameo, like, full, like, you know what I mean? Like, I completely agree with you.
You know what? Now we have something to ask David. The next time we see him at a convention.
Yeah.
Because we know that odds are we'll see him at a convention sooner rather than later.
True.
So,
there we'll you go. There when we get there.
The whole finale feels like it happens on fast forward, which is a result of so many filler episodes in the season.
How many episodes would you extend Countdown to Destruction?
I would make it a 5-parter.
Okay.
Ooh, yes.
Because so you would add 3 episodes to it then.
I would add 3 episodes because I would then have someone from each season show up. So in the first episode you'd have a Mighty Morphin Ranger. The second episode you'd have one of the Zeo Rangers. In the third episode, you'd have a Turbo Ranger. You'd have Justin show up. Then in the fourth and fifth episodes, you would have... Yeah, so.
The Alien Rangers.
The Alien Rangers or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would have been cool.
You also could... That also gives you one episode to destroy each Zord, which is what happens in the throwaway episodes. And you could have gone in a bit more into the other planets as well.
For instance, like Triforia, because Treya Triforia is there.
Yep, like, there's your Zeo Ranger.
What's going on his planet? Obviously, it's being invaded, probably.
Yep. We could have actually got an explanation as to what happened to the Zeo powers.
Right?
Asking a lot.
Look, again, if we're rebooking the season, I'm rebooking the season.
Fair enough.
Answers, damn it, answers.
So, but that's all the questions I got. What else is there? Anything else y'all would like to discuss on Countdown Destruction?
When we see Zordon at the beginning of Countdown Destruction episode 1, there's all this lava in his tube. Where did it go in part 2?
They forgot about it.
I would like to ask that question too, because even I was thinking about
if
that.
If he shattered that tube full of lava, that's a very different ending.
Well, not only that, but it was like you see it, and one of the things that astronomers said to Zordon was is that soon the entire chamber would be filled with evil, it wasn't evil. The red was signifying energy that was depleted. Yeah, the depletion of energy. So it wasn't actually evil, but you do bring up a good point. Say the red was at the halfway point. Or maybe 3/4 or 2/3 of the way. That's a different effect of how much evil is taken out of the universe.
And it would explain why there's still evil in the universe in Lightspeed Rescue.
In Lost Galaxy, the very next season.
Well, Lost Galaxy you can get rid of because it's technically a different universe. Lost Galaxy. Or like even in like Wild Force or Time Ranger, whatever. The point being,
By the way, Lava Tube was my high school wrestling nickname.
Okay.
Brian the Lava Tube Massey.
So at this point, is this the point where we kind of start talking about the whole season or like?
Well, I've got one more thing I want to bring up.
Okay.
So you asked us the questions about how did it feel to see the Power Rangers getting defeated. What you didn't bring up was the method of their defeat. about how they just got overwhelmed by numbers, right? We see the Machine Empire finally acting like an army and invading en masse, like they should have done in Zeo. We see hundreds and hundreds of Quantrons and Velocifighters and Piranatrons and Putties and all kinds of things. And my note is, wow, the Power Rangers lose to sheer numbers. Who'd have thunk it? Oh, wait, Divatox did. Because that's how she beat them.
And forced them into space.
She beat them. She beat them. She beat them. Dark Spectre forced them into space. Literal minutes later, there would be no Power Rangers anymore. And they wouldn't have a reason to go into space if Divatox hadn't gone into space.
Yeah.
Divatox is the only person in the Zordon era, or maybe even ever, to actually beat the Power Rangers.
Well, technically, I guess Lord Zedd and Rita kind of did too, because they destroyed the power coins, but...
But they had the right. Alien Rangers were there.
Anyway, the point being, yeah, Divatox thought it. Because Divatox is the best.
And
when she gets unturned from evil and she starts rotating in the field like a hippie. And she's just so happy.
She
and
goes,
her hair was so big.
Her hair was so big. She had such big hair.
She literally goes from a pirate to a hippie.
I do like the fact that we just see like Rita and Zedd share like a look and then immediately start dancing. It was adorable. Yeah. That
like,
was great.
Lord Zedd going from this meat exoskeleton like looking structure to a cardigan and khakis with a sweater tied around mm-hmm. his neck. Mm-hmm.
Which only begs the question, why couldn't that have been Ecliptor too?
I know.
I will die on this hill.
Also, who I felt really bad for during the Z-Wave? Squat and Babu. Because they were never really bad.
I know.
I forgot about them completely.
Because they would just be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squat and Babu. Finster.
Well, Goldar was evil.
Goldar was evil.
Yeah, oh, Goldar. Yeah, yeah. Scorpina was pretty evil too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like specifically like Squat and Babu.
I would have loved
our our Balkan Skull equivalents.
Yeah. I feel like if you had gotten people kind of like a Balkan Skull for them, like, hey, you know, they can live there. Yeah.
And there is a moment that we didn't talk about for Balkan Skull, which I think might be my favorite moment in all of the Zordon era, which is after Evil is defeated and the Rangers just hug them.
Yeah.
Like Ashley goes out of her way to hug Bulk, and I was just like, yes.
That's awesome.
I do love the end credits scene where it's like the bloopers and like some random extra starts hugging Bulk, and he's like, I don't know you.
You do now.
But yeah, now we can start talking about the whole season, I guess.
Well, let me ask a question also about, like, because Divatox looks like a hippie. She's got this, like, white dress and, again, humongous hair. And I guess this kind of leads credence to the whole, and I can't even remember her name. She was the replacement for Zordon.
Demetria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This kind of leads credence to, oh, wow, that's her sister, right?
Yes, that was what was intimated.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure that was mentioned.
It sounded like, I think the insinuation was that they were twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so I didn't know about any of that until I'd actually, like, watched some of the commentaries and, you know, YouTube videos and stuff. And while this is really cool, it still is basically just a headcanon.
Yeah. And it's never really
like all the comics.
Right, because... Wait, what'd you say, Ben?
So, I said it's just like all the comics. It's right. kind of its own thing.
It's its own thing, right. And it's a fun theory, and I definitely subscribe to it, but it doesn't really do much in terms of, like, just the show and the perception. We yeah. already knew that Diva Tox was adopted, and
we knew that she was amazing.
Right, and we also knew that, like, she kind of wanted shiny things, and yeah. she had other aspirations beyond just conquering the world or whatever it was her, you know, goals were for invading Earth or whatever it was she was doing. Yeah. So, like, it's a fun little nod that you could interpret however you want. But I do just like the fact that we got to see Diva Tox turn good. And I remember watching this, and it's still a thought every time I watch Countdown to Destruction that always hits me. Is like, okay, but what happens to them now? Tell me more. Tell me what Rita and Zed are up to now.
Well, we know what happens to Rita. She goes back to being Rita and then the power of all good in Mystic Force universe.
And Zed goes back too in later seasons as well.
But that's a different version of Zed. Yeah. It's not OG Zed. But the thing is yeah. that, like, yes, that's cool, but I want to see the journey from, okay, she's turned good to becoming Mystic Mother. Right? Yeah. Like, I want to know, what is Diva Tox up to? Does she still use the name Diva Tox? Did she decide to go to Inquirus or wherever the hell the other one was from?
Oh, God.
Like,
Inquirus? Yeah.
Whatever. Does she still have her submarine? And is she just, like, off exploring the universe in a space submarine? Like, I don't know. Like, it's something that Power Rangers, of course, will never address.
What happens to Diva Tox is she gets everything handed to her because she's amazing.
Yeah, but I want to see that.
She finds a nice person to spend time with and go exploring the universe and having adventures aboard a small blue box that travels through time.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with that. All right, that works.
My headcanon is she becomes a Doctor Who companion, apparently.
I have no objections. Make it happen. Why not? Yes.
Make her, like, a rival of River Song or something. That'd be hilarious.
All right. With your fan fiction out of the way, guys, this has been, I think overall I did enjoy this season, despite some of the empty filler episodes. I think it had some really fun episodes. I think the mix of, like, Star Wars and Star Trek that we discussed during the, when we recorded the opening episode, is still sort of maintained. I still think it leans a little bit more to Star Trek than Star Wars. But I do really, I love the space theme. And I thought overall the season was fun and the characters were great, even if it wasn't always consistent and it wasn't didn't always make sense because, you know, Power Rangers.
Power Rangers. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come back to me.
Brian?
I had a lot of fun watching this. This is not my first time watching this season. I remember I actually watched this about a year or two ago before we started doing this. I think when we were recording Turbo, I watched In Space just because I was like, I want to kind of get ahead of the curve and I want to, you know, really watch it for myself. And I want to watch the whole thing. And I really loved it. Having done more research into it, like, my initial thought was, you know, holy crap, they really had a hard time taking the Sentai, which is Mega Ranger, and adapting this to, like, hey, it's a space theme instead of a virtual reality theme, which would have been nice for, like, something like VR Troopers, but I digress. I then learned about what they had to do with Gingaman for our next season, and I went, oh my God, they didn't even, like, this is nothing compared to that, but we'll get to that. That being said, I really, like, love the fact that we got another season with, like, the Turbo Rangers, like, the secondary ones, because I love TJ, I love Carlos and Ashley, and, sorry, the other ones, like,
Cassie doesn't get enough love.
Cassie really doesn't. Cassie's amazing.
I thought she was, yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. I thought if you have more to say, go for it.
Yeah, I think the most annoying episode for me to review was probably the one with Ashley's grandmother.
Oh God, so yeah. Bad. You know, it's funny you say that because I was the night before we recorded the, or last night before we recorded this episode, I was getting everything up on the website, to get ready. And I remember because you and I did that episode, and it was just the overbearing of the grandmother. It was so painful to get through that episode because it's like, but it's also kind of relatable because we all have that one family member in a way who's kind of like that too. So sorry to have cut you off there, Brian, but.
No, you're good. And if you go and listen to that, I mean, I go into different cultural norms between Japan and the United States and all that stuff. Go listen to that episode if you want more on that. But like, that episode was infuriating. But I really liked this season. I loved the Zords. I think like the Astro Delta Zord, like the combination for that was probably the coolest looking like combiner that we've had so far. I think that I don't know, Andros kind of grew on me, even if he was kind of this aloof loner dude or whatever. Zane is a hot idiot, and I will live by that. And yeah, I don't know. I just really enjoyed this season. Yes, it has its problems. Yes, we have like grilled this season to death. But I still really liked it. So
I mean, the premise of this show is we are adults that take a kid show way too seriously.
this is correct. That's the official tagline. If this is the first episode you're listening to, that is the official tagline of this series.
Just say to yourself, it's just a show, I should really just relax.
Yeah, and we do sometimes forget that this is a show built for like 10-year-olds. And so how we perceive it versus how a 10-year-old perceives it are going to be very different. And I've watched a lot of these seasons, especially as we get later on, at various different stages of adult of like, teenagerness and adulthood. And so there are definitely like episodes I remember watching that I think I enjoyed as a kid more than obviously much more than I enjoyed them as an adult because you see the flaws more obviously than you would. I do think there's still some amazing episode. Wasp with a Heart will always have a soft spot
Oh my
in my heart.
God. Yes.
I love that episode. I think it was some interesting foreshadowing about the nature of like, nature versus nurture. The show doesn't delve deeply enough into, but the fact that it even presented it in the first place and kind of makes you go, huh, so have the Rangers just been like killing people? Like, what have they been doing this whole time? And so it definitely brought up some great questions and some interesting concepts that they could have elaborated more on, but they didn't, and that's okay. Man, the Psycho Rangers though. Oof. They're still epic and terrifying. And I love the episode where Cassie is essentially running, she's like shopping and the psychos show up in human disguises and they have like her voice. And so she can't talk. And so the Rangers have to figure out how to help her and she has to figure out how to get out of the mall. And so that it so there's some like really cool, I would say, and different things that the Rangers had to do that we might not have seen that much or as often in previous seasons.
And the nice thing about that one particular episode that you referenced about having to like keep her mouth shut, that was like direct shot by shot from Mega Ranger.
Okay.
Because that was actually how that episode in particular was done as well. So it was like, so it was kind of nice where, some of the Sentai, they could have, that they were actually able to convert a full episode into a Power Ranger episode. Not just, oh, the fight scenes or what, or the monsters or whatever, but like take actual concepts, a full episode concept and convert it.
And do it well.
Yes. Because there are some that
Compared to
were
the
not
other
done well.
ones. Again, I cite the grandma episode, but again.
So, Ben?
Okay, so. To put a counterpoint on Sasha's little thing, of watching episodes when she was young and enjoying them, and now watching them as an adult, not enjoying them as much. I first watched Power Rangers at the age of 43. This season's bad. It is looked on with rose-tinted glasses by people that know it because, well, it saved the franchise, sure. Technically. There's too much filler in it. The idea of an overarching arc of the search for Zordon was a great one, but 90% of the heavy lifting is done that in previously on segments. That if you don't have the previously on segments, as I didn't when I first watched this season, because I was watching it on Netflix,
you forget.
You don't get the arc stuff. And when they do the previously on, they're referring to things from 10 to 15 episodes ago, not what happened last season. The episode before the finale had a killer Humvee in it.
Yeah.
It's bad. This season isn't good. When this season is good, in the very short, the very few places when it's good, it's very good. But too much of the season is bad. I have talked a lot about how there is a theory about how what happens around a thing affects the perception of the thing. And I think the fact that In Space followed Turbo made people look upon it more fondly because it wasn't Turbo.
Fair.
Could it also have been the fact that this was supposedly supposed to be the very last season of Power Rangers 2?
Right, but that doesn't talk about a historic look at it, right? Because we know Power Rangers continued. For example, do we look positively on Cosmic Fury? Is that supposed to be the last season of Power Rangers?
No.
I legit forgot it existed until you brought it up. So that tells you everything.
I haven't seen anything that's been put on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, yeah. But my point being, people who watched Cosmic Fury don't say it's great just because it's supposed to be the last season. And so In Space, it got a lot of props for not being as bad as Turbo. But that's not necessarily good. Again, when it's good, it's really good. Dark Spectre's Revenge, great couple of two-parters. Wasp with a Heart was a great episode. What was the name of the episode with...
give us a description, give us plot, give us something.
Come on.
I can find the name if you just tell me what you're looking for.
When Astronomer and Andros phone out their sisters, sister and brother.
The Secret of the Locket.
Secret of the Locket. Great episode.
That was good. That was a good one.
When the show is really, really is good, it's really, really good. The Psycho Ranger episodes, they're good.
No.
They don't add anything other than being good episodes. They don't add anything to the arc. The Psycho Rangers aren't pivotal in the recovery of Zordon in any way. As I said in this episode and in previous episodes, you could cut them from the season and not affect the story in any way. They're good episodes, but there's so much in here that if you'd taken some of it out and given me more focus on the arc, it would have been so much better. And there are certain Rangers who deserved a little more focus. Cassie. Mainly. She had like two focus episodes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three. In a 43 episode season. And she barely does anything in the finale.
Yes. Yeah, I know a couple episodes I liked. I like the Beryllian Sting because that created conflict within the Rangers. You know, that was like a good one because, like, obviously I think it was Carlos who got stung and then he started turning into one himself. So, like, you know, it's a race to try to get a cure to, you know, save him. And I believe also Cassie was turning into one. So, like, that was an episode I enjoyed. I also enjoyed Invasion of the Body Switcher because you had the thing with Ashley and Astronomer where they essentially like Ashley was looking like Astronomer because Astronomer was trying to portray as Ashley. So you had this unique battle. Like, I thought that was a pretty good one. There was another one, and it was actually the one where, which actually you started seeing the actual civilians of KO-35, but on another planet. I'm blanking on the name of the episode, but I thought it was a pretty decent episode because it kind of showed some of the deceitfulness of Darkonda a bit. So it was like, so, you know, so those were at least, I can't think of the name of the episode right now. But, you know, it was a good one, at least in my opinion.
Can I make mention of something? Because I don't know where I could like put this in. And I don't think I mentioned it at all this season, but I kind of, it's not super important. It has no impact on the story, at least not, you know, story wise or whatever. I do not like the music in this season. Like the kind of Casio keyboard stuff or whatever. I was like, where's Ron Wasserman, please? Like, I don't, like, I get it. And like, it kind of fit the theme, but like, it just.
I think the problem for me isn't the music itself, is its placement sometimes in the moments. Where like the moment, like I don't remember where it was, but it was definitely somewhere in these last four episodes and that we recorded, where I thought the music kind of took away from the moment of the episode, where like the music was brighter than the moment called for or something kind of like that. Like the music was happier than it needed to be or whatever it was. It definitely stand. So there's moments where I liked it. There's moments where it just stood out too much and not in a good way.
Yeah. There was a lot of things. A lot of tender moments that got overshadowed. The theme's great, I'll say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the in season music is a bit. But it's better than that is in some later seasons where they just repeat the theme tune.
Yeah.
Um,
it's just like, you know, it takes something that like you're already watching and like, yeah, like as an adult, can it sometimes, like, even if you're a fan of it, can it come off as a little bit corny? Sure. With this kind of music, it's just like, oh, it just, I don't know, it just it kind of lessens a lot of moments for me. It doesn't feel like Sasha said, like some of these like musical beats should be in these scenes. And I don't know, again, it's, you know, agree or disagree. That's just my opinion on it, is like, I'm just not a big fan of this music.
It's kind of like with WWE in a way where you went from Jim Johnston and CFOs to Def Rebel. And you could just tell that the music just, it went from like grade A
you
tier
went from
to just
people who are very good at their job to people that are very bad at their job.
Yeah.
And it's the same here. You went from Ron Wasserman to whatever this was.
Two fish flopping on a Casio keyboard for like 2 hours, you know?
There's also. And there's a lot of evidence of that in this season where they knew it was going to be. Where they thought it was going to be the last season. So they kind of stopped trying at times.
Well, we know that the budget got slashed.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, we're not going to put a lot of money into this season because, you know,
it's the last one.
It's the
all
last
over.
One.
Goodbye.
And then ratings changed that.
I will say this. I I know I am overly critical of the Zordon era. I know it is looked upon so fondly by so many people, and I'm very critical of the Zordon era. Mainly because, especially Mighty Morphin, but the Zordon era in general, is where like 80 to 90% of people who watch Power Rangers' Power Ranger experience stops. And I would almost say that it's the end of the Zordon era when Power Rangers really starts to get good.
Yeah.
Once we stop focusing on sequential storytelling between seasons and we start giving each season its own highlight.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers me that people haven't looked beyond that, especially people who haven't looked beyond Mighty Morphin. God, sort your life out.
So,
don't let anything I've said discourage you from watching these seasons, because they are worth watching, even if it's just to give you context for what comes later.
Yeah.
So I'll put this in perspective. The DVDs of In Space did not come out until May and October, respectively, of 2014, because they did a part volume one, volume two.
Yeah.
So I did not see volume one of In Space, or like the first half of In Space, until I was 27 years old. I didn't see part two or part two of the season until I was 28, because it came out like 6 days after my birthday.
Yeah.
So like for me, you know, still fairly young ish, but you know, still not that demographic for the, when I first saw it. Because I never watched it on television.
Yeah.
Same. I was in my 30s, so.
I watched it on reruns on Disney XD or whatever that Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Or Jetix.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think. And with us going into this new era of Power Rangers starting next season, I do very much want to say that I have a very different outlook on the show than even my three co-hosts.
Definitely.
I am a person that experienced Power Rangers for the first time in his 40s. It's impossible for me to look on any part of Power Rangers with childish glee or any type of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nostalgia?
Hindsight or nostalgia, right? Which is why what are commonly thought of as some of the worst seasons or most maligned seasons are actually my favorites.
That's actually kind of why I'm really looking forward to Lost Galaxy, because that's the season I remember like not clicking with as a kid. So for me, with exception of like one or two episodes, it's a completely blank slate for me. So this will be a real, it'll be a treat to go into it from that perspective.
Yeah. And again, think we're all on a level playing field when it comes to Lost Galaxy, I believe.
Yeah, it's also like, I'm just going to come out and say it. Like, we underline that the whole point of this show is we're four adults looking at a Christmas kids show way too critically. And I'm probably looking at it even more critically than the other three people on the show.
Correct.
especially the fact that the other three of us, you know, saw it at some form or fashion.
Well, not even
as
that.
Children.
I mean, like, even when we go into like Lost Galaxy, who like Sasha says, can only remember like one or two episodes, right? I will still look at that season more critically than the three of you.
Yeah. Because
that's just how I am. I like something like even like Turbo or even the early Mighty Morphin seasons that we hated. If you have them on a TV or on a second monitor, just playing in the background, where you're video gaming or writing or anything like that, they're perfectly fine. They're just background noise at that point, right? And In Space is very similar. Just you can tune out the bad. I kind of wanted to see what I kind of want to go through and see if I had the spoons, I would go through and see just how much of In Space I could cut out and make it tell me the same story. And I guarantee it would be probably 30 episodes of the 43-episode season. But that's not to say you shouldn't take the time and watch it. You should watch these things so you get, especially since later seasons of Power Rangers, once you get sort of RPM onwards, call back to this early stuff. Like, especially when you get to like Beast Morphers and beyond, like Lord Zedd is hailed as this all-conquering, unstoppable evil. But we know that he was nothing but a speck on the radar compared to Dark Spectre. So how are we now in, like, that's one of the things that I have a hard time connecting with in later seasons, because they portray these characters wrong.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you put in that perspective, because look at shows that have been running for a very long time, particularly animated ones. Case in point, The Simpsons and Family Guy. They've been running for so long that there comes times where they'll do a thing for canon to like tell a backstory about, like, say, about, for Family Guy, Peter and Lois and how they met.
Yeah.
But then 10 years later, because you're now reaching a new generation and you're keeping these characters the same age at the same time, you're kind of rewriting the canon a little bit there. So you kind of look at it in that same perspective of like what you say. It's like, because like we've seen it done multiple times in these later seasons of The Simpsons, and we've seen it done a few times in Family Guy. And those are just two that I can just think of because they're animated and the characters never age. So you have to kind of update the story to make it make sense timeline wise.
Yeah.
So
it's and you're also seeing people who are fans of this early content wanting to cement the reason why. And I think if you watch like a season like Beast Morphers, or to reference Dino Fury and Cosmic Fury, where Lord Zedd destroys the universe at one point, I think. You then go back and look at what Lord Zedd actually was, which was a guy who had Hila Gavita played at his wedding.
So
context is important at getting the whole arc of a thing.
A guy who was really annoyed by his father-in-law, you know?
But yeah, anyway.
So, I think we've sort of like gone kind of like all over.
It's interesting because I think we had to, because in space in the end of the Zordon era, it affects so much of the rest of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
In so fact of there is the rest of Power Rangers.
We should
wrap up, I think.
Yeah.
So with that said, Ben, where can the people find you on social media real quick?
At Bob T. Goldfish on various platforms, X, Blue Sky, Threads, Mastodon, Facey Space, Friendster, whatever, I don't know.
MySpace,
sure.
All right, Grandpa.
Grandpa? I'm from a time where the internet didn't exist, young lady.
We were all born before Google. We got you. Don't worry.
No, Google wasn't the start of the internet.
I know. Look, I didn't get internet until I was like 9. So like, I get it, but also don't get it. So I got it. You're old. It's fine.
And you can find me doing video game stuff over on twitch.tv with my good friend Jordan Johnson at 321_TV.
Brian?
As of right now, you can find me on Twitter under Wondering Geek, and that's really kind of my only social at the moment. So, yeah.
Sasha?
I got nothing. Don't find me. I don't exist. The internet is evil. Keep it away from me. Social media is evil. But no, you can find me on Threads and Instagram at the Jewish Comics Queen if you have to.
And then
you can find the whole show at VFTG_PR on Twitter. And there's a link tree there for everything else. And Mike, where can people find you?
Y'all can just find me on all the social medias, including Twitch, at the Lindenbaum 75. I simplify things throughout this entire season. So you may have heard different things earlier in the season, but it got more streamlined as the season got recorded. So
we're just going to make it really interesting when we jump around in the middle of the season because we record out of order.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I've also changed my handle throughout the course of the last 2 years. So like it's fine. It happens.
So, but with that, Ben, take us out as you always do, good sir.
So it's official now. I have figured out that you can tell about if we like an episode or not by how long the episode is. Because when we like an episode, there's not much to talk about. We just like, yeah, that was pretty good. that being said, the Zordon era has come to a conclusion. It is time for us to depart the known universe and head to a lost galaxy. And we will leave you the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, by saying, guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all of those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
And until our next Morph Phenomenal episode, be sure to strap on your Transmorpher and go galactic.
And may the power protect you.